community full of living beings.
Well, it's not even that you can, you are.
That I am, yeah.
Like, you are. And, sorry, I'm kind of going to interrupt you here, but...
It's oddly comforting thought.
Yeah, and so what I'm doing now is trying to create a methodology to find and describe spaces that are almost underdetermined. So people go on walks in the woods. People get like a spiritual experience when they see the mountains. People get the opposite when they go to IKEA or Walmart, right? Somewhere between these like hyper-urban and sublime natural places. There are these places that that are just in your backyard that we can find, and that'll help you like find that community. And it's crazy hard. I've never made a methodology before. It feels insane, but I'm trying to come up with that.
Are you confident?
God, no.
Are you getting good guidance?
Yeah, my advisor's crazy.
Good.
He's so cool. He sent me probably 100 documents this semester.
Amazing.
Just dumps files with me.
Are they helpful?
Yeah, I'm being inundated. And it sounds like every time I have a question, he's like, oh, you should read this essay.
Amazing.
And it's another niche. Like, I'm reading, actually, we've talked about it, where I like to talk smack about Marx and Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using Marxist philosophy.
Marxist framework is extremely applicable to so many situations of any social science interpretation.
Yeah, but I got really bitter about him in my undergrad, and now I'm back.
Yeah, I mean, Marxist framework is used in a lot of social sciences very, very heavily. Did you do your undergrad at SFU?
I did.
Yes, yeah. But, it's used a lot, so I can see why one would get bitter from the oversaturation of the framework being beaten over your head of... This is a major way you should be interpreting the world. One of the major ways you should be, so let's talk about it in every course.
Yeah, I mean, my issue with Marxism is that it's anthropocentric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Marx doesn't care about God or people's spiritual attachments to things. And that is, you know, we can look at people everywhere. Those are huge motivators.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my issue. That, like, it's almost a disenchanted ideology. And that's speaking, like, in terms of the very strictly... I'm actually not going to talk about disenchantment because it's so niche. If anyone reads any Max Weber, they'll know what I'm talking about. Protestant Ethic in the Spirit of Capitalism. Great essay. Wrote a big essay about it last semester. It's a rager. And so, like... back, I guess I'm just really hijacking here.
Like, you're a guest on the show, and if you have a lot to say, come on another show.
Yeah. Real.
Yeah.
I'm trying to come up with a way that we can almost just re-enchant the world to make it more meaningful.
Mm.
Right? Like, woods matter, bro. And it's not even like I'm a crazy hippie. Like, well, I mean, I guess I am, but these are just important things. I said something to my advisor. I was like, I think part of what I'm doing is just trying to get people to stop buying so many iPhones. And he said, that's a little glib, but like, you're not wrong. That a lot of it is also, there's such like a wealth of experience that you can get from spending time outside that's not in the most immaculate landscapes. You don't need to go to Alaska to see the beauty of the world. It's literally all around you. And, like, I can say that, and then people can, you know, say, yeah, sure, totally, bud. But without, like, a way to find those places or a way to, like, describe them and curate that experience, we're kind of just, like, we're saying it but not doing anything. So I'm really trying to create a way that people can feel that, to describe how they can get there.
Mm.
It's a contemplative practice, I suppose. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
I appreciate it. It's a good topic. I have some questions to ask you after the music break about applications of bioregionalism as well.
No questions, please.
No questions. Got it.
I won't be questioned on my research.
Got it. Next topic is video games. Okay. This is Grayson, and then. My name is Liz. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to do some music, and then we'll be back after some songs. I hope you guys have enjoyed enjoyed listening so far. It's been a really good chat. It's been a really good talk with Grayson, and I look forward to having him on the show again. So please enjoy. Up first is Me and My Synths by Scuba Diver and featuring Jacob Parker. And after that is Feels Like Deja Vu by This Ways. Music break. Please enjoy.
something new.
I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star.
Come join us for Slumber Party, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.
You'll hear female artists, oversharing, and research on health, psychology, and identity.
Hope to see you there.
Welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Liz, and I'm here with Grayson.
Hi.
That's Grayson. During that music break, hope you guys enjoyed it. We were talking about how I was asking, coming from a political science perspective, how nationality and regionalism, bioregionalism, relate to each other. And we were talking about how one can become spiritually connected to nature as well. And that was something that we wanted to touch on as well, is how do people connect and feel spiritually to themselves, to community, to the environment around them. I think you had some questions that you wanted to ask or something that you wanted to start off with.
I guarantee that I did, but I forgot them. I'm going to be totally honest with you.
So, that's totally fine. So, I remember yesterday or a few days ago when I was asking you for like a general skeleton of what you wanted to discuss. You had an interesting question for me, which was like what religious framework do I relate to, and have I ever felt that I have spoken to or related to a spirit? Why did you ask me that?
Well, I was gonna have a bold claim. Well, I initially asked you this question and then I forgot to send the message. Don't tell me yet. We're gonna talk about it on the radio, because I was gonna get on the radio and I was gonna say, these are the answers I think she's going to give based on where she lives.
Okay.
And then that was going to be like the proof of, you know, like, this is what people are like here.
Mm.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have done that well, but I would have done okay.
Did I give answers?
Yeah, you did basically what I'd expect, like a little less than what I'd hoped in terms of like proving my point.
Mm.
Really, like, the reason that I asked is I was looking if you had any type of nature spirituality in you, and you do. Mm-hmm. Like, you have, like, I guess, like, before this, is there's this idea that spiritualism and it's like God, religion, these things that can't be proven by science are not valid modes of understanding. That's like kind of a bad way to think about things, in my opinion. It's narrow-minded. I'm not saying that science is bad, but like, science is an incomplete picture of all that we experience. So like, really, it was gonna be like, you said that you don't necessarily associate yourself with a denomination,
mm-hmm.
but you definitely would have spiritual impulses. And yes. The idea is that people are saying, you know, like, we say that we're modern, and modern is a departure from, you know, the irrational. And spiritualism is irrational. But also, like, there's kind of a whole thing about how it's not. We won't get into that. We can if you really want. But, like, spiritual attachment does not go away. It will never go away.
I want to know about why you care and what it means to you. Why do you study this, and why does it interest you so much?
Great question. I've always wanted to be a monk.
Okay.
I was like 10 and I found like Shaolin monk videos on YouTube, and I would practice the horse dance in my room.
Okay.
And then I realized, oh, I'm not Chinese.
Yeah.
I'm actually a giant, giant white man, and that I will not be able to be a Shaolin monk. And then I wanted to be like a Christian monk. I was like, wait, I'm not super Christian. Like, I don't vibe necessarily with the whole of the Catholic or the Protestant churches. There's something about devotion to faith that I find like really admirable. I like to read religious philosophy. I think that those are just the questions that interest me the most. Some people really want to see how fast they can shoot a rocket into the atmosphere, and I think that's awesome. Those are just not the questions that like really that I will think about every single day of my life. And what I will think about every single day of my life is like, you know, what is kind of the nature of my being? You know, how am I walking with God? Blah, blah, blah. These like kind of fruity, spiritual things. And the reason I asked specifically, like, do you want to talk about animism? And have you ever felt a spiritual connection to land or animals? Because like I have, and I think it's amazing. And I want to know how many people have these experiences that I've had.
I've definitely felt moments of awe and feelings of... Honestly, I'm thinking back to what you had said about, you know, sitting by a quiet river and feeling community. I think in retrospect, that's possibly the feeling that I was feeling, was feeling community in recognizing that the trees are alive and breathing, and you know, when I slow down, I can really hear all the birds chirping and the leaves rustling. Whenever I drive the Sea to Sky Highway, I like to pull off to the viewpoints, and I like to stop at least one, both there and back, because I love a sense of scale as to how minute a human is compared to gigantic mountains and hundreds of years old trees and the time immemorial people that lived in these lands. And I feel connected in that way, and often it moves me very emotionally. But I'm not sure if I'm either spiritually attuned or spiritually developed enough to say or identify if I feel... I don't even know if I really know what the definition would even be of being spiritually connected to nature or animals, but it certainly moves me in a very fundamental way. If I had to assign an anatomical piece to it, I don't know if I'd say heart, but I would definitely say to some extent soul.
Well, I think that is, like, that is spiritual right there. Like, yeah, it's not, it's going to be different for everybody. But if you feel like it moves your soul, it's moving your soul, I think, personally. So it's like grand, the grand scale. When you realize possibly the smallness of you in the bigness of everything else.
Absolutely.
Does that make you feel like you belong in the bigness, or does it make, like, your, let's say, day to day feel less immediately like world ending?
I get what you mean. I've never felt that it inspires any sense of nihilism in me, or any sense of like life is completely absurd and we're just specks of dust in the universe. I feel like I do, from a scientific standpoint, understand that we are specks of dust in the universe, but
we're not specks of dust. We're people. We have lungs.
That's true.
Like, I'm not dust, dude. I got skin.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm in nature and or I'm experiencing, I love the feeling of being in an area where I can compare myself to the grandness of scale, like you said. I think a really good word for it would be community. I feel connected, I suppose, but I think in more so it's almost like a kid looking at their parent doing something amazing and your parent is a superhero, you know, or being starstruck or awestruck of seeing someone that you really admire, just because I also just really enjoy being in nature in general, being in a particularly beautiful place inspires a feeling of deep admiration to me.
Have you ever been in an old cathedral?
I have.
How similar is the feeling?
That is an exceptional question. Quite similar, actually.
Yeah, people will say that, you know, these large scale things are nature's church. These are God's cathedral. Or Gaia's cathedral. Any way that you might want to say it. That, like, the word that people use often is sublime. Like, this is sublime nature.
Yeah.
We might think it's untouched. This is true nature. And, like, you know, not to just, like, throw wrenches into the whole thing. But, you know, nature isn't unnatural. If I were to build a fire, I don't make that stick or those logs unnatural by using them to make fire. So how would the city somehow become unnatural, and how would the cathedral be any different from those mountains if you feel essentially the same thing?
How do you feel about it?
I think, like, that example is like a little overdone. Obviously there's a difference between a church, because, you know, a person made that, and a person doesn't make a mountain. But I think that definitely the idea that like nature is separate from us has got to go. It's absolutely got to go.
We're part of nature.
We are nature.
We are animals.
Yeah. But it's not even like, we are animals. And I think even there, like we have this kind of like, you know, phylogenetic urge to like orient ourselves in this, in the grand scheme of anthropology, like, you know, we had Paranthropus robustus, Australopithecus, Homo neanderthalis, Homo erectus, blah blah blah, the Denisovans, and then we can categorize and describe how we arose. It's useful, it's interesting, but saying that that is specifically our genealogy and that makes us distinct from like a wolf, I think is a bit of nonsense. And then obviously people are, you know, that's not the difference. The difference is we use tools and we have culture. But like, I think that that's, we're grasping at straws there, in a pretty immaterial way. Because like life is a constantly creative process. And the idea that like wolves don't create and experience their environment like we do, I think is a little naive. Obviously don't do it the same way. Like, you know, like I have a TV. Well, actually I don't have a TV. I almost said I have a TV. That's a lie.
Beavers build dams.
Beavers build dams. I live in a house.
Mm.
These are cultural experiences with the world. These are like actual relationships with the world. We just do it the way that humans do it. It's not different. I'm not less natural because I have an iPhone. I would say I'm, you know, a little... I'm actually worse for wear because I have an iPhone. I love scrolling reels. But, like, you know, I don't think it makes my life better. Definitely something to do. Listeners, you probably think I'm so weird. They're like, who is this guy? Is this what grad students are like? Don't worry, I'll be poor my whole life.
It's an interesting idea to think that in the vast conversations of human beings are ruining the world, that which we've built is a fault and a stain upon the beautiful world that we have. That us building is natural, I suppose.
This is what we do.
You know, it's like human guilt.
Yeah, it's original sin.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, we're not doing anything wrong by building roads to Yellowstone. Right? Like, we're not doing anything wrong by going there. Right? We're doing something wrong by, I would say, not going there. Or by acting like Yellowstone is better off without us. Because, like, sure, you know, we can leave those wolves. We can leave that place entirely to itself. There's so many places in the world that humans don't really spend any time. And those trees, when they fall, they definitely make a sound. Right? Mm-hmm. But we don't deteriorate landscapes necessarily by experiencing them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me. This has been CJSF at 90.1 FM. Grayson, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
And stay tuned for the next program, listener. Thank you.
A Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Prime Minder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is a place to be, featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday.